the whole power of, you know, 1% compounding over a year or 5 years adds up, right? You know, we keep hearing about story after story about, you know, people when, you know, thinks of an overnight success. When you look behind the scenes, you recognize a person has been, you know, practicing or training last 10 years or 20 years. It's just that at some point you cross the threshold and suddenly you have this inhuman capability, but it just builds one step at a time, you know, doing small things again and again, and you're harnessing the power of our bodies to adapt to our environment and stimulus.
Hi, and welcome back to the 50th episode of the Insights podcast series for MaxHealth. I'm your host, Anand Daniel. Today, I'm excited to welcome back Mukesh Bansal to the Insights podcast. He was with us on podcast number 9, talking about his Myntra journey, as well as starting out CureFit. Today, we'll be chatting with him about his decade-plus experience being an entrepreneur and some of the lessons from that, as well as his book, No Limits, where he talks about reaching peak performance. So let's dive right in. Hey, Mukesh, welcome back to the Insights podcast. It's a real pleasure to have you back.
Yeah, good morning, Anand, and excited to be here.
Thank you. So today, we mainly wanted to chat with you for this special episode of 50th Insights podcast. We want to talk to you more about your journey. The podcast is going to be three broad areas. So One is your journey as a founder and a team leader, how has that evolved, particularly currently what we're going through worldwide, right, with the COVID-19. That's section one. And section two is about your book, No Limits, which I greatly enjoy. So I want to talk some key lessons from that. And finally, despite your busy schedule and everything, you managed to carve out time to give back to the society broadly. So those are the three broad areas I wanted to touch upon, right? Okay. So I want to start out with first the scaling part, and then maybe let's start with the quarantine itself. On a scale of 1 to 10, how productive have you been on the quarantine? Myself, I think my productivity has gone up a little bit. Particularly, I've been chronically known to be late to meetings. That I managed to cut down thanks to Zoom, like in being instantly in and out and measuring that. So I'd love to hear how has the quarantine been for you from a productivity point of view?
It's been phenomenal from productivity point of view. I think even in the past, I've always found working from home to be quite productive. I think there are obviously less distraction. You know, I feel part of my work obviously involves interacting with a lot of people, but a big part of work is also thinking, you know, just being able to focus on a problem at a time. And somehow, you know, I struggle to find that space in office where, you know, you are disconnected from the hustle bustle of office for even an hour at a time. So I find that part, that aspect quite useful. But I think other thing is, you know, Anand, I feel, you know, when you're facing a crisis situation, productivity automatically goes up. I think if I look at last 2 months, I don't think I can find anyone, especially anyone with, you know, some kind of responsibility to deal with, because they are trying to manage the crisis, manage the business, manage, you know, personal health, family, just a lot. So we just, you know, naturally, you know, adrenaline keeps pumping. You are trying to adjust the situation. So as bad as the pandemic is, I think it's generally probably quite useful from productivity point of view.
Got it. And from being the CEO and running a company here, how has that been? Maybe walk us through the initial phase and now what's the rhythm you've settled into?
Right. Yeah. For us, you know, it is quite challenging. You know, as you know, I mean, core of our business is running offline fitness centers, and our revenue from that has gone to exactly zero. And gyms are going to be one of the last businesses which will be allowed to open. So adjusting to that, you know, having large workforce, which is currently idle, and there is really no way we can, you know, give them a sufficient work to engage. That's challenging. So there are a lot of adjustment around that. You know, how do you manage cost, various scenario planning, you know, whether things will open up in Q3 or Q4 and so on. But to balance that, you know, we have a significant digital fitness platform. And when the situation started, you know, we realized early on that there's a big opportunity for us to pivot to almost being a digital first company. And that is required, you know, the whole company to rally, you know, we have built things in a matter of days and weeks, which would have taken months and quarters in the past. So everyone, you know, involved in the digital project has been on their toes. We are thinking very fast, making decisions quite quickly. There's almost a mad scramble mode of execution that's going on that bit. It was quite chaotic in the first month. Now that we're in second month of lockdown, things have a natural pace is starting to emerge. You know, we have reset all our goals for the year. We have reset the OKRs. People have a lot more visibility into what to expect this quarter, next quarter. As an example, you know, we were having daily all hands, you know, first few weeks, which became twice a week. Now it's only once a week, which means there is a stability and clarity and people know what needs to happen. So I think some kind of, you know, cadence is starting to emerge now.
Great. No, thanks for moving digital. So you guys have managed to keep me and some of my family members fit. And I think you're introducing even, that's one of the things I find amazing. Like, we talked about the kids thing and you guys were able to roll it out in less than a week. So talk to us about that, like the thinking and executing. How are you able to do it in such a fast pace? Like, that's an important aspect, especially you can't meet people today. Everything is done like this, right?
So, yeah. I think the core idea behind, you know, or core enabler for being able to move very fast is a lot of decentralization. You know, even though we're a large team, but we are mostly organized as pods, and there's a huge amount of empowerment at each individual pod level. You know, we align at the high level strategy. So for example, let's say now strategy for us is to, you know, build a $100 billion digital business over next, you know, 18 months. Translating that into project initiative is highly decentralized process, and people are empowered to make decisions, run fast. You know, in fact, there are, you know, times when things come for approval to me and Ankit, and the feedback goes between like, why are you coming us to approval? You know, you are supposed to be a senior leader in the company. You make a decision and live with this. You know, if anything doesn't go wrong, you know, be prepared to answer in future, but don't expect, you know, stamp of approval from someone. But that in this time, you know, worked really fast. You know, example of Work Kids program. Honestly, I didn't even know that's gone live. You know, I just heard in some forum that someone is working on it, and now I'm hearing from you that's gone live. And that's you know, way we are executing. I think people align well on the core values we believe in, on how we do things here, what is a big picture, and now in a revised scenario, what are the key priorities for the company. And from there, people, teams and individuals define their own work and then execute at, you know, their own pace.
Got it. And where you are the company always like this, the autonomy and individual decision making, or was this a journey for you? You can look back in your 10 plus years of being a leader. Yeah.
I think it's been, you know, from CureFit, I would say it's been like that from day one, but this has been a journey in the making. A lot of my views about organization, org structure, culture, etc. were formed during my days in Bay Area. You know, I really saw firsthand how impactful autonomy and empowerment can be. You know, Bay Area is, you know, place where, you know, every engineer dreams of changing the world, and many of them end up, you know, doing that. And that's, you know, runs the entire culture of Silicon Valley. And so, you know, I try to leverage many of those in Mintra. There was a learning, you know, it's a kind of adopting that to Indian entrepreneur ecosystem, which 10 years ago was not that mature. It's a lot different now. There were, you know, things that worked at Mintra, things that didn't work in Mintra. It was a continuous iteration process. But at CureFit from day one, you know, Ankit and I were very clear that we wanted to build a very unique culture centered around the concept of empowerment of the individual. We wanted to hire best possible talent. And then we say, like, this is the big picture. This is what we want to do in 5 years, 10 years. And we want to give you as much freedom and autonomy as possible to make progress. So I think it's by now, it's very much fabric of how we do things at CureFit. Just to give you a couple of examples, no one has any titles at CureFit, you know. We didn't think it would have been possible for us to come this far without that, right? We don't have formal reporting relationship, you know. You are part of a project, and for your work, you are accountable to project manager team, but there is no one person who controls kind of your destiny, which a formal reporting manager does, right? Similarly, our performance management is very individual in nature. Your performance management happens when you complete your 6 months. If it is in March, so we do, you know, performance review then. If it is in April, we'll do it then. So there is really no company-wide performance exercise with the, you know, bell curve and grading and whatnot. So, and all of those, I think, assets, you know, are being very useful for us in this crisis time to be able to move very fast.
That's great. Some good lessons there for founders who are listening to adopt. Maybe that's on the team, and how do you empower team and grow them and let them scale, right? So personally, maybe talk about some of the things, and we'll talk later about your book also and the various things that you shared there, particularly as it relates to the lockdown. You're a big physical fitness proponent. So how have you managed to keep yourself fitness, be it physical or mental? What are some of the hacks?
Yeah. Fortunately, I'm very lucky that, you know, I have a small home gym and it's just a few steps away from my work area. So I have really have no excuse to not work out. My routine has always been in the morning starts with fitness. You know, when Cult was open, you know, I would go there occasionally. Now I'm obviously not able to do that, but I, you know, work out in my gym. I take advantage of the all our digital classes that we are doing. More so on the yoga and meditation side, you know, I complement my weights workout with yoga and meditation. In my gym, you know, I combine things like a little bit of endurance training, some weight training. Someday I would just walk on a treadmill and I have a treadmill with a screen so I can put a Kindle book on that and just walk at a slow pace and read. I find it, you know, highly relaxing and meditative while you get some reading done as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, first few hours in the morning and then, you know, the work starts around, you know, 9 a.m. or so.
Got it. And for people who don't have the work gym or anything like that, even through your app, I use your do-it-yourself thing. It's just on my phone. I put it out there and half an hour of that, I'm done. Like, so depends on.
Our, you know, best fitness accessory all of us have is our body. You know, if you think about our bodies designed for the movement, there is really no other purpose the body serves, right? So any kind of exercise where we are able to moving our body around, you know, floor exercises, you can all kind of cardio. And that's what, you know, most of the Cult digital workouts are for. You know, you really don't need anything, you know, depending upon your temperament and health goals, you know, there's a whole variety of workouts. And it turns out it's also most beneficial from health point of view. You know, weight training actually have their own use, but if you talk about holistic health, just using your body as a weight accessory and doing all kind of slow intensity, high intensity workout with that, a phenomenal health impact.
Yeah. And how about on keeping the mind clear? You talked a little bit about meditation and all that, right? So we talked to us a little bit more, especially now we're going through stressful times. There are hard calls to make, right? So any hacks around that aspect?
Yeah, see, I think one of the key things I've learned about health in last few years, both how important it is to take care of your mind, as well as how powerful meditation can be. I feel when we think about health and fitness, we always think about workout and maybe food. But I feel the two things that come before that is, you know, sleep and taking care of mind. And, you know, meditation just does wonders for one's mind. So now I meditate almost every day, you know, some days only 10 minutes, some day even 30, 40 minutes. And last 20 years, you know, there's a lot of science that has come up, which has validated all the positive impact that meditation has. So, you know, and whether you even do 1 minute meditation, you know, or a few minutes, the benefit starts to accumulate. You know, it's a great stress buster, enables you to focus, you know, learning is expedited, so you're able to deal with things, improve significantly. So, you know, various breathing exercises and meditation is almost must have if one is interested in health. And it ends up having positive impact on productivity as well. So it's, you know, one of those things we just, you know, keeps on giving.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good segue into talking about your book. As you mentioned earlier, I really enjoyed it. You've distilled down best practices from so many different sources, and you mentioned many of my favorite books there, so that made it even more like resounding.
Yeah,
so,
I joke about it. When people ask me what the book is about, I basically say it's, you know, summary of top 50 performance books, and I say it in all sincerity. I think most people will never read those 50 books, and I also tried to weave a story around this. You know, I think, you know, when I say 50 books, I really mean on dust 20, 30 years of research into science of performance, you know, which various books have tackled, you know, different aspects of it. You know, I've tried to kind of just weave it all together into one coherent narrative and easy to follow format.
That's absolutely coherent. So I've read many of the books that you've quoted multiple times, but the way you brought it all together to make it one narrative and also hopefully easy to remember was super helpful for me. So thanks for doing that. And also the 43 performance hacks, right, were amazing. I'll start with the 43rd one, showing gratitude. Thanks for making it to the podcast. I know today was a busy day for you and absolutely a pleasure. Right, so just talk to us about what was the motivation for doing the book. Where did you always want to write or what made you do it?
No, I think it's kind of two things came together. One is, you know, I've been interested in performance for a very long period of time, you know, first on just how to improve my own performance, you know, in the things that I was involved in. Later on, as I grew as leader, you know, one of the things you are responsible for is creating an environment, you know, nurture people around you and help them, you know, perform at their, you know, best level. thinking about, you know, how to help the kids, you know, as a parent, how do you guide them and help them do better in whatever, you know, they choose to do. Mm-hmm. So I've been very curious about how does performance happen? How do, you know, certain people, you know, are able to perform at a very different level that, you know, most of us think is, you know, beyond our reach. I started reading about it, and, you know, after reading, you know, a few things, experimenting, something started to click in my head, and, you know, became more intrigued and curious and started reading more and more. And while that was going on, I also realized I use writing as a kind of thinking tool, you know. Mm. Whenever I sit down and write, it just helps me clear my mind. I'm able to bring together a lot of disparate ideas into a kind of one story, one way of thinking. It's also become easily shareable. I've been using that as a management tool for a long time. You know, I write a weekly note to our teams for many, many years now. You know, I was a product manager before in Mintra, so I used to write a lot of product specs. So I just always benefited from writing. And so this book, once some concepts were clear in my head, I just wanted to share with a larger number of people. And since I've always enjoyed writing, you know, it was a good way for me to articulate this back to myself. That this is all I have learned about performance. And I can put, you know, hopefully put in a format where a lot of other people can benefit from it. You know, I recognize that I love books, I love reading, but reading also consumes a lot of time, and people are very busy these days, a lot of distractions. And I wish, you know, everyone can read those 50 books, but probably most people will not. So I was hoping that, you know, just with a few hours of investment, you can get the benefit out of what you would have from reading 50 or 100 books around performance. So that was another motivation.
Yeah, so I was going through some of the notes, highlights. There's a lot of them. And you talk about how even the ultra marathon runners who have done 100 miles and other things are normal people who train and perform, right? That it's not necessarily something that's innate to us or genetic, right? So everyone can develop, right? So
absolutely, there is no doubt whatsoever. You know, if when I was, you know, 15 years ago, if you asked me, you know, I would have given you all kind of excuses about talent and temperament, but not.
Yeah.
But now we know enough about how our minds work, the plasticity of mind, and how our body work on the whole, you know, use it or lose it principle. It's just, you know, mind and body are optimizing machines. You know, you put them in an environment and whatever triggers are there, you know, body and mind responds to it, and that's training.
Yeah.
You know, it happens slowly. So that's why we don't see it. But, you know, the whole power of, you know, 1% compounding over a year or five years adds up, right? You know, we keep hearing story after story about, you know, people when, you know, anyone thinks of an overnight success, when you look behind the scenes, you recognize a person has been, you know, practicing or training last 10 years or 20 years. It's just that at some point you cross the threshold and suddenly you have this inhuman capability, but it just builds one step at a time, you know, doing small things again and again, and you're harnessing the power of our bodies to adapt to our environment and stimulus.
Lot of things, man. So one of the things highlighted is don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. You had quoted some other author, like so many nuggets like that. But maybe one thing I wanted to chat about, like too many things that I've highlighted, so it's just good. So one thing is you talk about purpose in life, right? So the sooner we find that, there's no clock to it, but when you find that, that really drives everything else, then leads to that purpose. Maybe talk to us about, how have you thought about that for yourself? I know it's a journey, but love to hear your thoughts there.
It's definitely a journey, right? You know, one of the reason I included that chapter in the book is, you know, when we talk about performance, the inevitable question is performance for what, right? You know, performance means, you know, it implies you're trying to optimize something, you know, you're trying to get more of something or, you know, get better in something. But a lot of times, you know, the things we're trying to get better at comes from external environment. You know, somebody we know might have, you know, gotten good at something, so we were competing with that person. Sometime, you know, without recognizing, we might be pursuing, you know, whether it's a business success or money or fame or power and whatnot. You know, as long as it comes from deep sense of meaning for you, you will be able to stay with it a lot longer. You will also enjoy the journey. If it is, you know, totally driven by external stimulus, just because someone else has it, you also want it. So you may, you know, get excited and start pursuing that. But then inevitably, to make performance happen, you'll have to do a lot of small things day in, day out. You know, you have to put the repetitions in, you know, whether things are going well or not. And that's when if the purpose is not very deep, you know, you don't derive much meaning out of it, the journey may seem fruitless. You know, you may think about the even the potential reward and you may second guess, you know, why the hell you want that thing anyway, right? So I think thinking deeply about why you want to achieve, perform something, you know, what do you very strongly relate to, you know, how do you see yourself, you know, what is your self-image about yourself? You know, sometimes doing exercise, when you look back and seeing how I spent my last 10 years, I'm happy with, you know, not about what I've achieved, but I'm happy with how I spent that time with, you know, so all those are good guidelines in choosing, you know, what you pursue. Like there are, you know, all kind of things, you know, which from an outward appearance may or may not appear like success, but it may be success according to your own definition. And having that introspection and reflection around purpose kind of help you give clarity so that you spend time on things that will eventually matter more to you and not because someone else was doing and there for you and decided to pursue that.
And you talk about like that purpose helps you plan 5 years, 10 years ahead and work back. Maybe two-part question there. One is, any hacks from your life on how you think long-term strategy? Bill Gates used to go and lock himself up in a shed and read books for a week, right? So any such hacks that you do, that's question number one. And then that's for the long-term planning. And then more on the tactical stuff, habits makes a person successful or not. You talk about that in the book as well. So what are the top 3 to 5 things that, at least for you personally, it's been super helpful on a day in and day out? We already talked about a couple of them, but just want you to reiterate. So one is long-term and then the other is every day.
Yeah, I think a lot of, you know, perspective things for me, you know, come from reading. I do read a lot. And for me, reading a book ends up becoming almost like a conversation with the author in my head. You read something, you know, mentally I react to it. And I tend to read, you know, a good deal of books, you know, which are, you know, I like to call them, you know, panoramic books, you know, which kind of paint a full picture, you know, end to end, like, you know, Sapiens, for example, Naval Harari's book, right? Or Short History of Nearly Everything. I think in some ways, you know, my book is also a bit panoramic about the whole, you know, canvassing the entire landscape of performance. So those books, you know, help me develop this big picture thinking, like for any topic I'm interested in, what is the meaning of this, right? Where is all, you know, what does it all end up? I try to think a lot of look back exercises, you know, let's say when I was 30, I would like to visualize, you know, how will I, you know, look at my life when I'm 40, how will I look at my life when I'm 50, you know, how will I look at myself when I'm, you know, 80 or 90 year old? Will I still be working? Will I still be productive? You know, what do I need to do now? So I think those looking back exercises, you know, few years out, are, I think, can be very powerful. You know, it's you can visualize. I do things like sometime, you know, I'll write 5 year, 10 year goals. I definitely do annual goals, etc., which at least give me clarity about, you know, what do I want to achieve and focus on this year. A lot of it's you know, working on something is mostly about eliminating many other things. You know, and we have so many choices now. You know, we all get tempted. We want to do a lot of things. So I think having articulating and writing that this is what I want to focus this year helps, you know, eliminate a lot of things. For example, you know, this year I decided, you know, I want to always been interested in health, but, you know, for me, health has always been in the past been more about workout and ways, you know, workout routines. I decided this year, you know, health is going to be just about food for me primarily. And so I made tons of changes with respect to food, experiment with things, you know, the, currently I'm experimenting with the intermittent fasting. I think there's a lot of literature around how intermittent fasting is helpful for you. But then, I mean, that's just an example of a theme this year. It may be something else next year, but that's something that, you know, helps me prioritize and focus on a few things at a time.
Got it. So the looking back exercise and implementing yearly plans. And on a daily basis, you talked about exercise, meditation, and sleep, right? Anything else that will make your top 5 to 10 habits, like just list a couple. Yeah.
Writing, whether writing, you know, something related to CureFit, you know, making some plans. I'm working on my second book. So whenever I find time, I, you know, try to write 1,000 words for that. And yeah, I think that the writing helps anchor me and gives me some clarity and some sense of, you know, achievement and progress during that day.
Nice. Okay. Already on the second book. That's great. Awesome. So that's great. So it's good to learn about the book. I don't know if people know that all the proceeds from the book go to Olympic Gold Quest, which is an organization that you have supported for quite some time. So maybe the last topic I wanted to talk to you about is what are the things that you're passionate about and giving back, and maybe talk about a couple of those.
Yeah, I think sports and health for sure. You know, one thing I'm passionate about, I've played sports all my life, never been very good in any sport, but I think I can, you know, manage myself around most sports. And sports is also one area where, you know, people who pursue sports seriously, I think all elements of high caliber performance comes together in pursuit of sport. And, you know, Olympic sports is obviously the ultimate of, you know, what you can achieve in sport. So after I moved on Flipkart, I got associated with the Olympic Gold Quest, you know, part of their board now. And it's been an eye-opening and phenomenal learning experience and what all goes into preparing for Olympic sport. You know, unfortunately, India doesn't produce many medal winners, but OGQ has done, you know, their bit in furthering that agenda. So whatever little, you know, I'm able to pitch in to OGQ, it's been very rewarding and kind of inspired by all the high performance stories I've seen in OGQ. I felt, you know, the contributing all the royalties of this book to OGQ will be one small way to show my gratitude for, you know, what OGQ is doing for the country.
Yeah. And people who are interested can go where to learn more and donate on this?
Search for OGQ on Google, Olympic Gold Quest. You will see their website and you can donate directly. There's a link you can follow and any amount of donation is welcome.
Awesome. And this is towards the 2020 and 24.
That's right.
Now 24 Olympics, right? So yeah.
The Olympic, you know, association says like they will shift this 2020 by a year.
Okay.
So it is held in Tokyo. So hopefully it gives one extra year to all the athletes and, you know, maybe who knows, you know, I mean, we are hoping India will do really well in the upcoming Olympics and hopefully by next year, life comes back to normal and we can start to think about, you know, normal things like Olympics and whatnot.
Yeah, as Axel, we are supporters of OGQ and encourage the audience to also contribute. Hopefully we'll see more Indian gold medals out there in the Olympics. So, and then maybe talk to us on ACT and the Bharat Health Stack that you're helping with, a little bit about the background there.
Yeah, so ACT is an initiative started by various venture funds in the country. It's a phenomenal initiative where all the VC firms came together and said, you know, what can we do to help the COVID situation? So they created this 100 crore grants fund, which is mostly contributed by the VC firms, individuals, various entrepreneurs, and some foundations. Till date, they've given 35 grants. And these are all very interesting, you know, ideas in the testing space, PPE space, ventilator space, telemedicine space. Some projects we are working on scale. You know, one of the projects that came out of ACT is this whole idea of Bharat Health Stack, which is a open source public good telemedicine platform for the country. And the idea behind that is we can support COVID-related telemedicine at scale initially, but eventually it becomes an open source public health stack platform, which can accelerate the digitization of health in the country. So yeah, happy to be kind of involved both in ACT and the Bharat Health Stack. You know, it does take some time away from my day-to-day cure fit work, having to really stretch to do justice to all, but it's also very rewarding. And I think this is a time where all of us need to step up and contribute. I think one way we can fight this epidemic together is by coming together and contributing whatever resources we have at our disposal, including our own bandwidth. So I'm trying to do my bit.
Yeah, that's very generous of you. So wish you best of luck on those two and the rest of the initiatives. So let's go close with a few interesting questions. Rapid fire. Most frequently used app these days for you?
CureFit.
Oh, nice. Most interesting piece of information, advice that you came across during quarantine?
Can't think of any one thing.
Okay, no issues. What's your preferred Zoom background? We're seeing one.
Yeah, no, I think I experimented with a virtual background, but you know, it's not very stable. It creates all, you know, funny silhouette around you. So
yeah. Especially if you wear headphones, it's like your ear is popping.
Your head is on fire, right? So for now, until the technology gets better, no virtual background.
Yeah. So what do you prefer?
If I had my way, I would have nice, you know, mountain background. I love mountains, you know, nice
mountains,
you know, nice. Great way to have Zoom calls.
So would you prefer a quick call, instant messaging, or a Zoom call? What's your preferred mode?
Zoom call. You know, I'm not an instant messaging fan. You know, Zoom is it's a much better communication. You can see the other person. You know, body language also becomes part of it.
Yeah. Last one. What is the best part of working from home?
Yeah, it's just no wasted time in commute. I mean, we are all, you know, Bangalore traffic has been bane of our existence for many years, and having to escape it completely, I think it's very rewarding. So all the meetings start on time, ends on time, and then you are in no time, you are at the next engagement. So
yeah, even I've been on time as I started saying. So awesome, Mukesh. Really appreciate you taking the time and sharing your journey as well as some of the tips for and performance hacks that founders who are listening to can put to use in their own lives. Wish you continued success and hope the audience who are listening also take a lot from this. Thank you.
Thanks, Anand. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, good to talk to you again. And congratulations for, you know, running this very successful podcast. I'm sure a lot of people will find it useful. So all the best with that. Thank you. Good day.
Thank you. Yeah. Hope you enjoyed that chat with Mukesh. Tons of learnings there that we can apply to our own journeys. You can find more podcasts from the series at insidespodcast.in. We'd really appreciate it if you can share this with your friends who can benefit from the podcast. We'd also love to hear from you on what we can do better at the Insights Podcast series from Axel. And you can tweet us at Axel_India with your thoughts and suggestions. Thank you.